Welcome back, listeners, to your AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 9, Battle of the Bastards. We've got a whole lot to talk about, so stay with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
The whole show.
Sounds like let the dogs out.
Everybody, this is a... Oh, here we go.
The winter went up.
I was so... yes, this was awesome, guys. Thank you for joining us on AfterBuzz TV tonight. My name is Kyle Maddock. I'm going to be your host this evening. To my left, I have the one, the only Kristen Snyder.
What up, what up?
Yes, over here I have Sarah Stratton.
Who?
Ryan Mallody.
What's up, everybody? Ryan Mallody back. Looking forward to talking about this episode. It was awesome. Boom. Throwing it too.
There we go.
Hi, I'm Dave Child. I'll be chatting with you on the internets here. So find me at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV and join the chat. You wonderful fans, you.
Yes! Woo! I gotta assume we're gonna have a lot of happy people tonight. Everybody's still dancing over here.
It really was a good episode.
We got it. We're gonna get there. Ramsey, but first, let's talk about how we got there tonight, guys. Let's start it off.
What an epic show.
Oh my gosh.
I love this
show. Are you guys happy right now?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of good things happened.
Mostly happy.
Mostly happy?
I'm mostly happy.
Why? Is Ramsay mostly dead?
He's not all dead. No, I'm very happy that he is dead. Mm. I feel like there were a lot of unnecessary deaths in this episode.
Game of Thrones for you.
Not that many people had to die.
Who didn't have to die?
Well, I'm going to let Kyle lead the episode so I don't just jump in and say my whole
thing. You're going to do it all. I think we will get to those characters eventually. But so we'll start off Winterfell. Obviously, the parlay is the first part of this battle that we get tonight. Now, we're only going to be here and we're only going to be a Marine. So we got to go through this like step by step right here. Mm-hmm. So we start off with the parlay with Sansa and Jon and Ramsay. And they're chatting. And we get Jon's offer to have a one-on-one battle. Did this fool you at any point? Did you think this might happen? Did you think there was a chance?
No.
No?
No, they weren't going to fight.
No, but I like the strategy behind it. The initial, mm-hmm. like, I also thought that the remark of, like, why will these men follow you? I really wanted them to play on that during the episode. Why were all of these men following Ramsay? This whole fear thing obviously proved himself as some sort of strategist by his twisted ways. But I wish I kind of had another perspective on someone who did follow Ramsay's rule.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a fly on the wall on that camp. If that makes sense.
Someone pro-Ramsay.
Yeah. We've never met a pro-Ramsay besides Miranda or whatever her name
dogs
was.
Were really pro-Ramsay. And then they got really pro-Ramsay. They got really into Ramsay.
Yeah, they wanted to taste them.
They really enjoyed him, didn't they?
Yeah.
But this was our first meeting between these two, as far as I can remember. Jon Snow and Ramsay Bolton meeting for the first time. And we sort of have this little battle of wits going on. Jon tries to call him out. And then we do get that twist of line, Sarah. That was a very good point. It's like Jon says, are your men going to follow you after they realize you wouldn't fight for them?
Right. Why would your men fight for you
if you won't fight for them?
You wouldn't fight for them, yeah.
Yeah. I think it was a very clever line. Mm-hmm. It was kind of shows Jon, this isn't Jon's first rodeo either. But he also seems to underestimate Ramsay a little bit here. Ramsay's a tricky guy. And we get this in the next scene when they're planning and everything and he's talking to Sansa. And she kind of knows. She knows he's a bit trickier.
Scene just annoyed me. Sansa.
Thank you.
I mean,
thank you.
She is saying, oh, can I help? Don't you think I have something to say? It's like, first of all, if you think you have something to say, speak up when it's time to speak up. Second of all, you have Littlefinger's army in your back pocket. That's the obvious answer. Mm-hmm. Why are you withholding that information still? I really don't know. Why is she? Because she has she's like, doesn't really trust him. She didn't really like how he threw her to Bolton
in the
first place.
I honestly don't think she had a reason.
She didn't have a good reason.
I don't understand. I wrote down, why did she miss her chance to be honest?
Right?
Yeah.
We've had it over and over again, and this is kind of why did people need to die? Why did she withhold this information.
So it just many people hasn't been are justified. Dead because of Sansa.
I think the reason really is because she knows she's going to owe Peter now. Because we even get a glimpse of that next week of, you know, them coming in contact. And we are going to find out what he wants from her. But I feel like that's why she didn't bring it up. Because it's like another man she owes now.
Perhaps.
It's like she's getting rid of Ramsay and now she's going to have this other guy that she owes.
But then why don't you bring John, your brother, in on that early? Make it so that you're using this as a force so you're not left at the end of this battle with basically sacrificing the men who followed your brother and ending up with most of the men who follow, like, Littlefinger.
Littlefinger's army.
Like,
if she didn't try, though, she said you should have waited till we had the number. So I think she didn't think he was planning to attack as soon as he did.
Come on, she should have told
us. I think we might have some more men coming. Yeah. So maybe we should wait 24 hours. I mean, maybe.
Yeah. Like, people on the chat are pretty much agreeing that they don't like Sansa. But I would say that I think she had, like, I don't think that she wanted to rely on Littlefinger. I think she felt and wasn't very sure he was going to pull through.
Yeah, was there
a great point?
Sure, where like his loyalties really lie. So she sent the letter, but she can't be like, "Oh, there are definitely people coming."
But then she rode up with him.
Yeah,
yeah, but
well, once he gets there,
ride up with him. Like she wrote the, she sent the letter when it was like, "Hey, I need an army." And it's not like she got an instant reply back. It wasn't like a Snapchat back.
No, we don't, coming on my way. We don't know. We don't know that she got a reply back or no, because we've been left in the dark by all of the communications between her and Littlefinger.
I guess that's true, but I'm going to assume that she didn't get it back.
I'm going to assume that Sansa's a shitty person.
I want to believe that, so it seems like Sansa had a reason to not say anything, but at the same time, it's so simple for them to just send a reply, Raven.
Or it's also so simple to be like, these people might be showing up.
Yes.
I reached out to them.
Hey, John.
He said he would be here for me.
I think that discussion's definitely going to happen next week, and she's going to be asked why she didn't, you know, tell him.
Yes. I think that's a very good point.
I think you guys will be okay next week.
I want to see some resolution there, because she needs to be held accountable for hiding that information. But I am kind of happy that I totally called it. I don't know, the last episode, if anyone remembers, is like, I predict that Littlefinger's going to swoop in at the last minute and say, I mean, I guess it's kind of obvious.
Oh, come on, who didn't predict that one?
No one saw that coming.
Can I get one of those?
Oh, yeah, that feels good.
Hell no, I ain't giving you one of those
I'll take it, though. Just your little finger? Just your little finger?
Just your little finger.
Someone brought up the point that if the Ramsay knew that the Knights of the Vale were there. This is Robert on the chat. Says Ramsay would not come out to fight in the place that he might hold up in Winterfell itself. So it'd be harder to knock down the entire army if he knew the entire army was there.
Yeah.
That's no reason for Snow not to know.
Well, right. I could see Sansa being nervous that if she tells anybody, word might get out somehow. And so she kept it very close to her chest.
You know what? Unlike pretty much everybody
like this
else,
is an excuses boat for Sansa.
I guess I do like her though. I like her.
I do too.
I like that she sent this letter. I'm glad she made that choice.
To be perfectly honest with you,
she did make that choice. Don't forget that, guys, because Snow would have fallen.
Yeah. It would have lost.
Snow would have fallen.
Yeah. So funny.
Winter. There you go. Yeah. Coming.
She stepped up. She did something she really didn't want to do, and it saved the day.
Yeah.
And now she's going to have to face the consequences, but she made the call. Mm. What do they say? It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission?
Exactly. I'm on board with that. And I think that, you know, Snow wasn't really looking like her advice to him, which did play out. Like, Ramsay did trick him. You know, and they weren't supposed to charge forward. They were supposed to let them charge them. So, you know, if he would have listened to her, that would have been helpful. And I feel like now that she's brought this army in, maybe he will respect her more and give her a voice that she didn't have before. He's still looking at her as that little sister.
I'd be pissed. Wait, we had this army in our back pocket the whole time and you didn't tell me?
Why would you tell me? The
chat right now is blowing up. It's just a battle of Sansa, pro Sansa, anti Sansa.
Welcome to every other episode of this television show. Are there any good points to hit, Dave? Or?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people on the
anti
Sansa that are just like that Sansa killed one. Just like, oh, come on, guys.
I kind of agree with that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Let's talk about the planning here a little bit. We're still at this point here. I'm glad they addressed Rickon here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how Rickon, how important he is, that he is the biggest threat here. Because as long as he's alive, there's a male heir. And
learning, though, that male heirs aren't actually as important as they once were?
We definitely learned that in this episode. We have some strong ladies in power in this one.
Just saying.
But, he's... and Sansa knows. Sansa knows Rickon... we're not going to see him alive anymore.
I got to say, though, I was surprised about the Apocalypto-style death that he got.
Oof.
And why wasn't he bobbing and weaving?
Yeah,
we're all watching the episode like, come on, Rickon, bob and weave, man.
Zach,
man.
Zach, man.
He's got to bob and weave when he's running from arrows.
He should have gone to the NFL Combine before this. I don't know.
I don't know what he was thinking.
I mean, what I do have to say on this point is they tricked me a couple times in this episode, particularly with Jon Snow. And I was convinced that Jon Snow was going to get close enough that Ramsay was going to be able to shoot Jon Snow with an arrow. And that's why he kept missing. And it was just kind of luring him closer.
He's been shot with arrows before.
I thought that a bit. I also thought there was going to be some sort of, like, trap. Like, they dug a ditch in the ground, a trench, and his horse was going to fall into it or something along those lines. And, oof. But, no, it didn't happen. Rickon is gone now.
Oh, yeah.
Rickon is dead. So now Bran is the only male heir still around.
Technical male heir.
There you go. Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
What about Benji? No, never mind.
No, they're all done. There you go.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, so, Bran, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. So John knows he doesn't have enough men, but he knows that it seems to me he knew if he waited any longer, the men he did have would start leaving. Like, they would get cold feet and they would take off. So do you think it would...
Cold feet.
So do you think it was a... think this was his only option to attack right now that he was given? Was that his best course of action where he was?
Well,
he initially, the idea was to wait until the army charged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for the actual battle,
yes.
Yeah.
Actual battle.
Yes, oh, for the actual battle, but like going into battle in the first place, was this his best option to do it now?
I think with what he knew he could have, yes. Because I think you could always say, well, maybe if he had reached out to this person and this person and this person. But I think for the like immediate connections, immediate options he had, this was the best strategy he could come up with. Mm. He just didn't really know how many resources were available.
Can I ask, why would he not reach out to the Vale at all? Did they? Did Davos and Jon Snow, did they reach out to the Vale at all?
They're really far away.
I don't think they did. From everything they know, the Vale's just been staying out of everything. So I don't know. I don't think they had any reason to think that would change.
Because Catelyn's
sister is crazy.
Sister's dead. Yeah, you're right. Maybe there's
absolutely
no
crazy.
They also stayed in the whole battle. They stayed neutral and they didn't enter any fights in the previous battle between all of the kings.
War of Five Kings.
They're untouched.
Yeah, the War of Five Kings. They stayed neutral. They were like Switzerland. They stayed out of it. So I didn't think they could trust them. They didn't know they had them in their back pocket because they didn't fight for the Starks earlier.
Sure.
So that might have been enough reason for them to be like, let's not ask them.
All right.
Interesting.
I'll take it. I'll take that.
So Sansa knows... Sansa has this... She says she's not going to go back... She's not going to go back to Ramsay. She's going to kill herself before that happens.
Or just peace out.
Or just peace out. Did you take it as peace out? I saw her saying like a suicide note there.
I thought that she was telling him, I don't want to go back alive, as if like he would need to kill her. I don't know if she's strong enough to kill herself, honestly.
Yeah, you're probably right, too.
So I think
it didn't come to that.
No, what it came to was a pretty epic battle. Like, that was cool. That was really well made. I really enjoyed watching. I mean, as cringing as it was to watch Jon Snow charge emotionally and not making, like, you know, the strategic decision to, you know, still have them. We all knew that was coming, and it was just like, Jon, no, come on.
Jon.
Stick to the plan. Mm. But still, I'm glad they did, because that was a really cool, fight scene. It was like Saving Private Ryan. It's with Braveheart. Like,
there you go.
Despite my anger towards Sansa, I felt like this was one of the most emotionally draining battles I've seen. Like, cringeworthy, suspenseful. Like, it really got me a lot. It looked great. It's cool. There's a lot of blood.
I think so, because like, there were so many people fighting that we cared about, as opposed to battles in the past that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really,
and like true fighters.
It's just really well made.
It kind of felt like Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Did you say that?
No, I did. Yeah, that mixed with Braveheart.
Like, sorry, I was in the chat.
No, it's always...
I was like, oh, the battle. Oh, Saving Private Ryan.
No, I loved it, man. I mean, I don't know how much money they spent on that, but I wish every battle was as real as... I don't know if I've seen a battle that I felt like I was in more than that one.
It was very visceral. It was in your face. It was dark. It was gritty.
Cool.
Here we go.
Came at all angles. I really enjoyed it.
You guys keep skipping to this battle. We got a lot of stuff to talk about before we even get to that battle.
Oh, yeah!
God, guys, I want to talk about it too, but we'll get there. We've got like time to fill. Let's do this. Tormund and Davos have a conversation here. They're talking about how their mistake was believing in kings.
But that Snow isn't
a
king.
But that Snow is not a king.
Right, and that sour goat's milk is apparently great.
It's fantastic. I love
it. Seems like the drink of choice.
I really like those two together, though.
Yeah.
Just their friendship and their conversations. I, like, really enjoyed seeing them together in a scene.
Right, I did too.
They're a fun duo, especially because how much Tormund hates Stannis and how much Davos loves him.
It's funny.
But then we get Jon and Melisandre. Which is something I've been kind of wondering where she's been.
Mm-hmm.
She's been MIA for quite some time now. Mm-hmm. And what this conversation was going to be like. And it was so straight to the point. It was just like, well, don't lose. If I do, don't bring me back. Well, if you do die, I got to try and bring you back.
Yeah.
It was there was just like, that was it.
But she kind of revealed that, I mean, she doesn't have to. Basically, she kind of wants to. I'm going to try because I live for that shit.
It's kind of saying she didn't have a choice. Like, that's what she was for.
Exactly. Like, she was an instrument of the Lord of Light. That's how I saw it. I don't even see it. It's her choice. She says, I'm going to try, and then the choice is the Lord of Lights.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing. It's her choice to try.
But you know she's going to because that's who she serves.
And, yeah.
she admitted. She's like, how do you know that that's what he wants? Well, I don't really... I just interpret his signs. Hmm. His sign is that I tried and I succeeded. So if you die, I'm going to try again.
Yeah,
you
obviously wants you back.
Now I have the ability to, so I'm... But not everything you can do, you should do.
It's this interesting difference between them and and what Arya was going through, because their god wants death, and R'hllor wants people back. It's like kind of this flip-flop between the two.
That's a good point.
Light and darkness.
But I feel like this was a foreshadowing conversation, because now we don't have to have this conversation again. I don't think he's going to die in the last episode, but I think in the next coming season that, you know, he may fall again, and she may try to bring him back.
Yeah, because
I think it was also important for this episode, because there were so many moments where I was like, why? Mm-hmm. Is Jon going to die? is he going to be hit with an arrow? And every time he missed... I kept thinking, well, it's destiny that all those arrows are missing.
He's
fighting all these things of like he's there for a cause. It's destiny. Yeah. He's back. He's the I almost said flaming prince, but
the prince that was promised.
Yeah, the prince that was promised. Jon Snow, flaming prince.
Flaming prince. Hashtag flaming prince. But she does say to Jon, maybe R'hllor brought you back here to die again.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. But by death by boot, he like almost was trampled.
He's almost trampled.
It reminded me of like Black Friday. Like people, that has happened.
It's funny.
It has that. People have been trampled before, would have been a very sad way to go. I feel like it wasn't deserving.
You want
to
talk about sad? What did you think about Davos finding Shireen's toy?
I've been waiting for this to happen. Well, I mean, I wasn't waiting for him to find a toy, but I was just waiting for someone to kind of tell him what happened to this.
Did he have no idea? Was he gone?
That was under my impression, because we've never seen a reaction. We've never seen a reaction from Davos about Stannis' final decisions with burning his daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that we've always been waiting for it. He was the one. I thought it was interesting. He was the one. He was always at the wall. It's funny that he takes these walks when Stannis' camp suffered because... everything got lit on fire because no one was out patrolling. And then in this walk that he's doing, it just goes back to the place that kind of was Stannis's, I feel like, final turning point where no one cared if he died anymore.
And it was closure for him and Stannis's daughter.
So it's not done.
Well,
it's not
also,
yet.
It's
sad.
It's he sees Stannis as kind of great, mm-hmm. and I don't think he can ever really put the blame on Stannis for killing his daughter. I think he puts all of the blame on Melisandre.
And he also can't put any blame on Stannis anymore because Stannis is dead. So
yeah.
there's not.
So I think it's leading up to him looking at that is leading up to a big come to red god equation coming up in the next episode. I think it has to be like she has to face her crimes for burning this kid.
I actually don't think so. I feel like, if anything, I felt like this was going to make him side with Tormund and bring them closer once he finds out that Stannis did crucify his daughter or burn her.
I think her name will come up again because we still have Ser Jorah looking for the cure for Grayscale, and Davos
had an intricate...
On the chat think that we're coming up to a Davos and Melisandre confrontation.
Really?
I thought he was going to kill her.
We did get that look at the end.
Yeah.
We got that look at the end. We saw a little bit of like next week's episode where it's like, tell him what you did. Now Jon Snow has to realize where does he lie in this on which side? Is he with the Red God now? Or is he just there for Winterfell? Is he going to become the new Stannis? Or will he just rule over Winterfell or whatever?
What is the just ruling in that? Yeah. Because at the time when that order was made, it was made by someone who was claiming they were the rightful king.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it should or should not be punishable. It's very comparable to, like, the Mad King. Like, what... is the just ruling on Jon's part? Does Melisandre actually have to atone for that sin when it was at the command of a king?
Who is actually in command of Winterfell now? Is it Sansa?
Be Sansa. It would be. I think technically Sansa. Because she's even Lord, you know. She's kind of the widow of Bolton anyways.
Yeah.
Either way you look at it.
And of Lannister.
Yeah. Well, she didn't quite marry.
They never consummated the relationship.
So that's why she couldn't.
There was a
null.
But she was released.
But yes, the last ruler was Ramsay, and she is the wife.
And she's also a Stark. So
she's a Stark, and so it all kind of fits.
And is she pregnant?
There you go.
But I mean,
No!
That's a big question.
But one last thing. I don't think they're going to kill Melisandre because she's the only one who can bring Jon back, and everyone loves Jon and follows Jon, so at the end of the day, we need her. I think he's going to die again. You want to get rid of the woman who brought back your savior?
He's like Mario. He's got a few lives left.
He's got to keep his one up by his side.
Yeah, he's been collecting coins all along. Arya will bring him some coins that she has.
Maybe she'll be shackled, but I don't think we're killing her.
Maybe they're going to put her in prison and take off her choker and realize what's happening.
Oh, put it back on.
A lot of people want to see her burn, but then the question in the chat
would
right now,
she burn?
But there is a question of will she burn, but that seems to be just a dragon.
Yeah,
you guys not like Jon Snow. Do you not want him to be brought back? Stop killing Melisandre.
I don't want him to die again. Do you guys think Jon Snow has a death wish?
Yes.
Slightly. Yeah.
Do you think he wants to die again?
Part of him.
And not be brought back? Do you think it really messed
with him? I think he seems a little bit tired.
There you go.
Like, this is draining a lot out of him.
He just wants to retire, and that's what death is.
Burn her anyway, we're getting from our control room right here.
Burn her.
So this, I think Kit Harington's doing a mighty fine acting job here, because we learned back a few seasons ago when Beric Dondarrion kept coming back. Every time he did, he lost part of himself.
Yeah.
He kind of lost part of his soul. He became less human in a way.
More numb.
And I think Kit Harington's really showing us that this resurrection has affected him this way. He doesn't seem to care about life like he used
as
to.
Much,
yeah.
Well, I agree with that.
Did he ever really care about life?
After we lost Ygritte, it just kind of went away.
That's right.
He just needs to fall in love again. Great point.
He just needs to love again.
There's just not too many ladies up in the North.
Some of them.
There's one over in the East, though, I can think of.
There's only a couple. There's only like three redheads. One's a dude. One's his sister.
And one's real old.
And one is creepy.
What would their ship name be?
Oh, God, I don't even want to get into that.
We're going to get to ship names later,
Daenerys,
by the way.
Danny
I'm getting
Snow.
Some ship names coming up, but we're not at that part yet.
So I like when Davos finally called the... we're just sitting back here. I think I saw a glimpse of... I don't want to just sit here like I did and not do anything. I want to get in on this battle.
Davos did a great job, again, because first of all, he had very nice timing on getting the rest of the troops ready when Jon Snow made his split-second decision to keep running forward.
Yep.
Like, good timing on Davos being like, oh, everyone, let's go. Hurry up. You need to get out there,
well,
too.
I liked his decision to not fire. He was like, Ramsay's going to keep on firing and kill just as many of his men as he's going to kill ours. Let's not add to that. But then, yeah, he was like, I'm going in. I'm going to actually do something on this one. But him going in falls into Ramsay's plan to surround them.
Yeah.
So it's not that great.
With the wall of dead people.
The wall of dead people. And we get the Karstark versus Tormund. That was Karstark, right?
That's what I took it as.
Or was that Umber? I think that was Karstark.
I think so.
I took it as that was
dark.
Fighting with Tormund there.
It was dark.
I don't know about you guys, but I hate this dude. Like, we've been learning to hate him this past season, and I was so happy to see Tormund take him out.
Can you remind us why we hate him so much?
To rip his neck because he's a traitor. Yeah,
because he should have been with the Starks, except for the fact that the Karstarks left because that was who Rob beheaded for killing
the father.
I remember now.
I'm getting a lot of people saying it's Umber.
Was it Umber? Well, we also have reason to hate Umber in the show because they're the ones that turned Rick on, gave him into Ramsay.
So we hate them all, and it is fine that they die.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Umber, I don't know if it was Karstark, but they deserve to get their throat ripped out they did.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get a lot more Umbers. I think it's Umber.
It was Umber?
I think Umber is
all right, Umber it is.
Remind me not to upset you ever.
Who owns the North?
A lot of people talked about this in the chat, and I agree too that I was really scared for Tormund throughout this whole episode.
Yeah,
it felt like he was the guy that could go at any moment.
Yeah, I thought so too. And he got sliced up a bit when he was trying to break the ranks.
Yeah, and he needs to give some Brienne some
thank
loving.
You exactly. I was like, before he can't he die goes. before this love happens.
So. Was I the only one who thought we were going to get another Battle of the Blackwater reveal here? While Jon was getting trampled, very much like Tyrion was getting trampled during the Battle of Blackwater. I think it was Battle of Blackwater, where he just sort of got trampled, woke up, and the battle was over.
No, that
was not Battle of Blackwater.
What battle was that?
That was when he first took up his axe with his Hill Tribe people.
The Hill Tribe people.
That's right. It was the battle with Bolton.
It was the Lannisters
with Roose Bolton. Roose Bolton. Yes, thank you. Thank you for the correction there. But I thought we were going to get that too, where they were going to. The crowd was going to part, and they were going to be Aaron Flagg saving the day. House Aaron Flags, and I was so thankful they did not go that route. But I guess I'm the only one who thought that. And then we get Ramsay fleeing to Winterfell through all this.
With the trio following close behind.
I know, with 1-1, I think it was Tormund and Jon just running just down there.
We're gonna get ya!
And 1-1 breaking through the gate was awesome. Loved it.
You know what I was glad to see was no Ghost in this episode? Because I was kind of scared if Ghost was going to be there. I don't think he would make it out of this battle
I don't think
alive.
Ghost.
Where is Ghost?
I don't know. He's hunting right now. He's hanging out back. I was kind
of... Ghost doesn't care.
Maybe Ghost is finding... Yeah? Nymeria?
Nymeria.
Who let the dogs out?
That's a long walk. Nymeria's like in the south.
Yeah.
We're just hoping that they're hanging out.
Come on. They could have some nice dire wolf like... What's that called? Echolocation or something? Sure. Whales have.
I loved Ramsay saying, hey, let's have this one-on-one battle. And Jon not saying, hey, men, stand down. He just started walking towards him. And the men were so in awe that they didn't ruin that one-on-one fight there.
Yeah.
I love that he did not say, stand down or don't help me. He just went in and they chose not to help him.
I love that the one-on-one fight still wasn't fair. Like, he was like, let's do one-on-one as I'm drawing an arrow at your face.
Thunk, thunk, like, thunk.
It was weird how he just kept shooting arrows, even though, you know, Jon Snow had a shield and he was getting closer. I mean, wouldn't you drop your bow and pull out your sword or
probably
your knife
shot
or
him
something?
In the leg. That's probably what I would have done.
Or, aim a little lower.
Yeah,
It was still pretty hardcore, so I liked it.
And I was feeling, I think you were sitting next to me while we were watching, and, like, every punch I was like,
God,
don't piss me off.
A lot of bloodthirst coming from you today.
I was feeling it. Every punch, I was... Oh, I loved it.
That bastard needed to go.
So
enough with Ramsay.
Bastard bowl.
So we get him. He doesn't die at this point, but he gets taken prisoner, and we have the awesome image of the Bolton flag falling, the Stark banner unfurling. And then Sansa goes down there. She wants to know where he is, and we get this scene. How did you feel, Kristen? Let me know. How did you feel during the scene?
I felt like it was time for Sansa to get her hands dirty. I wanted her to, you know, find a needle like Arya. I wanted her to really, like, gut him, and I was really sad that it turned out that I like that you were right, Sarah, but I just wanted her to find, because I feel like we would respect her.
You wanted to do it by hand.
If she did it by her own hand, we would respect her more. I think everybody would.
Mm. See, I didn't need that just because I like how different she operates from Arya. And I think when Arya comes back, she is that sister. That is her role. She is the warrior. And she... Maybe they can kind of, once they're together, learn from each other, and maybe then we'll see Sansa do something a little bit more physical. But I like that Sansa keeps this very, like, regal, dignified kind of stance. Like, everywhere she goes, it's just this, like, presentation of a lady.
She still doesn't have any blood in her hands, does she? I don't think Sansa's ever actually.
That depends on what you consider hands.
Yeah, directly.
I think
besides the whole letting her brother's army get slaughtered, but like directly killing anybody or hurting anybody physically, I don't think she has. I feel like it would have been out of character.
She feels like she won the day when the army showed up and just setting the hounds on and having the last word. She's Cersei.
We've seen her slap. Good point.
She's the flip side of the coin. She's becoming the Cersei of the Starks in the way that she, you know, manipulates everyone and gets everything together. And she learned her lesson from Cersei. That's who trained her into where she is right now. So everything she does is kind of a better version of Cersei, but still Cersei.
I got a little respect for Sansa because the dog started to rip into Ramsay and she turned away, and there was a moment where she turned back and she goes, "No, I've got to watch this."
Yeah.
And she watched it for a little bit with the hand flail and everything, and then she was like, "All right."
And
she walked off, which was very cool. Awesome. So I think that's all we got with that one. Ryan, you got a little word for us over here?
Yeah, do you want to put Winterfell to bed?
Yeah, let's put Winterfell to bed.
Let's put Ramsay in a Casper bed.
he doesn't deserve it. That cool and comforting, you wouldn't give that to Ramsay.
You're right, he doesn't deserve the cool, state-of-the-art foam that is only provided by a Casper mattress. Guys,
yes.
We want to talk about Casper real quick because they're a sponsor who help us put on this show for you free on iTunes and YouTube. So Casper, Kyle, what's your favorite fact about Casper mattresses?
Casper mattresses, well, I learned last week that they come in the smallest box.
We talked about this earlier. That's not your favorite fact.
My favorite fact is that they won Time Magazine's Invention of the Year in 2015. Invention. That's such an all-encompassing, amazing thing.
This is the one we reiterate.
I mentioned
the box.
Oh, sorry, the box. I am blown out by the box, but I do love the memory foam on it, too. Because I'm a big memory foam.
Yeah, it's a mixture.
There's two high tech foams that guarantee you sleep cool and comfortable. And I don't know about you guys, it's getting really hot for me. I don't like using my AC and burning through that money. If you could sleep at night cool though with one of these mattresses, it could save you a lot. You're comfortable. You're cool. And who doesn't like being cool? They have new sheets and pillows that are just as comfortable. And yes, it does ship free in a box so small you wouldn't even believe it.
Blows my mind. I need to see that.
Now you can see it because, best of all, you can try it in your home 100 nights risk-free. So you order it. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. You get 100 nights or 100 ships.
That's like the whole summer.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Yeah, 100 days of summer. 100 nights of summer.
Boom. Give it
a try.
Sweet Zooey Deschanel reference. Sweet.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. 100 days of winter. So go ahead and go to casper.com/afterbuzz. That's casper.com/afterbuzz. Use the code AfterBuzzTV in all caps, and you'll get $50 towards your purchase of your mattress. Try it for 100 nights, risk-free. If you don't like it, they'll come pick it up, refund you everything. That's casper.com/afterbuzz, code AfterBuzzTV. $50 towards your purchase.
Casper Mattress.
Awesome. Terms and conditions may apply.
Ryan, thank you very much for that, sir.
Thank you, sir.
And let me segue with, you know who's not sleeping? The citizens of Marine.
They are not sleeping.
Oh, my gosh. So we are under siege out here. It is raining fire upon City of Marine. And Dany and Tyrion have some words for each other here. I thought Daenerys was going to, like, throw him out of the castle.
It was a pyramid right there. It was a tense moment. Oof. Like, is she mad because she just came back and her city's being destroyed?
Is she mad?
I can't tell. Like, I don't know if I'd want to date her after watching that scene. Like, I can't tell if she's mad at me.
Oh, shit. You would date her no matter what she did. Yeah, well, shut up.
There you go. You're right. But she's got a plan. She doesn't kick them out, and she wants to just destroy them all. Her plan is to fly around, destroy all their cities, all the people, burn it to the ground. And Tyrion sort of stops
like a true
here.
Targaryen.
Yeah, did you think that? Yeah, she a little Targ blood fury.
Targ blood.
She targed it up.
Look, she's been nice for way too long. She's let everyone say their piece. They've even tried to make peace. She even let Tyrion do his plan. Obviously, it didn't work. It was nice to finally see her get things done the way she wanted to, and I haven't seen this happen before the way she's done it, so it's nice to see just how powerful she is.
This is what she does, and I think we got that from Dario like a couple episodes ago, where he says, "You're a conqueror. This is your thing. You do this, and you do it very well. You should keep doing it."
It was nice to see it this episode, because when she came back in the last episode and just skipped over all those ships, we were kind of like, I remember last week we were like, why didn't you just burn all the ships down?
Yeah. Burn the ships.
Burn them. And now
she needed to figure out what was going on real quick.
Maybe things were changed.
Maybe these are friends.
Hey, Tyrion, what's going on with these ships?
I think that's a smart plan. You know, you fly in, you've been on vacation for a little while. You fly out, there's some weird stuff happening.
Gotta check your messages.
Exactly. You should probably figure out what's happening before you start murdering thousands of people. All right? I respect her for that. I respect that decision.
Hey, Tyrion, I'm gone for like 3 weeks. Who let the dogs out, huh? Seriously. And she found out that he was, you know, he was in the right. I mean, at least his state of mind was right. He's against slavery. He's against the masters. And he still is a valuable advisor. And that's all she needed to hear.
Boom.
And after she heard it, then she's like, okay, well, what now? Let's deal with this.
Yeah, let's figure this
out.
And
I think it's great that she let him go in first, trying to make peace. Because obviously they're going to go back and tell their people, you know, it is their fault that this is the way things ended up. And it's nice that she didn't just go her old ways and just conquer. Like, she did take a second to try to make peace.
Well, we're talking about your terms of surrender, not ours. I love that.
We're here to talk about surrender. Yours.
That was amazing.
You misheard, I think.
That was a pretty cool moment. What did you think about the Dothraki's return?
Oh, that was nice to see. I was wondering when they were going to show up. Mm-hmm. And in the last episode, we were like, oh, what are they going to do with boats? Against boats? They can't do anything against boats. But she waited long enough for them to get off the boats. And now they're facing the Dothrakis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the end of it.
So I guess I have a logic question here. Is like, so there was there just a line of Sons of Harpies waiting outside the front gate just in case anybody ran away? Is that what was going on out there?
It was a siege.
There was just like a little battle going on there.
A little battle. It wasn't even a battle. It was a slaughter going on.
I feel like, and they were killing innocent people that didn't have weapons.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
So obviously we wanted them to have their throat slit. And die.
What were they doing out there? Why did they leave? Come on, people.
Daenerys is now, she has the second sons, the Dothraki, and the Unsullied, and her dragon. Mm-hmm. Dragons, where are the other two? Are they still underground?
Well, we saw them bust out, and they started flying around.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So noticeably smaller, we saw them flying around.
So she has her
and
dragons.
Spewing fire.
Yeah. Little convenient they busted out right at that moment.
I mean, they could have the
call. Oh, they heard the call. Okay.
Right. And Nember, Tyrion did take off the
chains.
So they weren't that restricted. If they still had their chains on, they couldn't leave.
Yeah.
So she's got Unsullied, Second Sons, Dothraki, her dragons. Now she also has backing by the people of Marine.
The Second Sons aren't going to fight for her. I'm sorry. I keep getting the Sons of the Harpy and the Second Sons. My apologies. Yeah. You're right.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And then
sorry.
To add it on top of that, now we have the Ironborn fighting with her. I guess at least some. She's 100 ships.
Did you guys love this? Did you love this as much as me?
Yes. Boom. I loved Yara. I loved all of you guys.
Okay, so we got some ship names.
All right, here we go.
Going on for Yara. and Daenerys.
Oh. What do we got?
The ones that keep getting batted around are Yanni.
Yanni.
And Dara.
I like Dara.
I think Dara is
What about Daenara?
That's what I was kind of thinking. I was thinking longer.
Daenara.
Yeah.
Daenara. Yeah.
I like it.
Gosh, I really hope they at least like play with that.
I just hope they play a little bit.
Just play it at all.
Like brush each other's hair at least.
It starts with a handshake.
That's how it begins.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
You don't know about this.
Is this a thing?
I'm just saying.
Is that like a bonding thing?
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Things happen when you brush hair.
I don't know. Like, next date I go on, I'm going to bring a brush. Hey.
Can I brush your hair?
How's it going?
Apparently. There we go. Watch out, ladies. Ryan is going to brush your hair.
Don't worry, girls. I brought a brush.
We did it.
So silky. So white.
Your hair is so unburnt.
Oh, yes. Can't put curlers in this. It just doesn't burn.
Just doesn't work.
Curling irons don't work. That's hot.
That's excellent.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love it.
Oh, by the way, we skipped over this a little bit, but everyone on the chat, or a lot of people on the chat, have been saying Grey Worm had the kill of...
Oh, yeah, that was pretty sweet.
The double slit throat. The kill of the whole season.
I don't quite agree with that, but a couple people have said, like, kill of the week, kill of the season, kill of, you know, a kill of the week.
Let's call it the double slit experiment.
There you go.
For all the science fans.
I also liked not only how that looked, but the outcome of it. We kind of slipped over. They did leave one kind of master, like that one person who can spread this tale
and not only
and be the warning,
and not only that simple, but the fact that he was the master that they, the other masters, just insulted.
Yes.
And like sacrificed
and
pretty
he kneeled
much.
And then there was a lot of kneeling references. Yeah. In
it makes
this
him
episode.
Even better of a candidate to stay alive then.
Yeah,
I mean, the last thing that happened was your other buddies just betrayed you and then you were spared, so with that mercy, I think it was a smart move.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But I have a question though. Has Daenerys never shook anyone's hand before? But she seemed confused as to what
I think
this
she was asking if she here. Should. Like she was making sure Tyrion approved.
Okay, is that what that was?
I think so.
It also, right. I think, is supposed to remind us that although she does have this kind of alliance with Tyrion, who is technically a Lannister, this is her kind of first.
Mm-hmm.
Alliance that will go with her to Westeros.
Right.
Like,
she's never needed to shake anyone's hand before. Everyone's always just kind of bowed.
Also, it wasn't really a handshake. It was more of like
an arm bond.
So she probably had to be like, do I go for the hand? Do I go for full arm? And Tyrion was like, go for full arm.
Always go for full arm.
You're right, Sarah. That was her first, like, active real diplomacy.
Interesting.
I'm so excited about this, though.
Yeah, I liked it. I enjoyed the interaction between Tyrion and Theon as well, because we hadn't seen them since, like, the pilot episode, or the second episode of the whole show. Mm-hmm. And Tyrion doesn't have fond memories of this kid. Theon is not well-liked in Westeros. Everybody seems to know how bad a guy he is. But, it doesn't sound like they know exactly what happened to him. It seems like word has not reached them there.
Avoided certain conversations.
Yes.
But I also thought it was interesting the proposition that, or the agreement hinged on the fact that Daenerys wants them to basically give up the Iron Way.
Right.
Yes.
Like she
no
is.
No raping, no raiding,
no pillaging,
no reaving, like, all the R words.
All of that.
Ranting, like, raving, reaping, raping. Yeah.
And that, so, raving.
There's a lot of raving.
A lot of raving.
You know what?
No more wave.
Raving.
No more rave. No more raving. The Ironborn. We know how crazy you guys get over there.
That's Glowstick Island.
So what are they gonna do?
I was surprised that she even defended that for a second. Like hey, raping. That's like part of our. It's part of our way of life.
It's kind of what we do.
Not anymore.
It's kind of our thing.
They're picking up the hairbrushes now.
Dropping the swords, picking up hairbrushes. Line up, everyone.
This is the way now.
I mean, we've mentioned it, but the Yara and Daenerys bond over
Daenara.
this to Nara over fathers. What Euron said. Like, he's gonna come over here with his big cock and take it out, and the girls were just like, oh, come on, Jesus Christ. I like that. I like that moment.
There's a lot of comparisons.
Women empowerment. No, they're really...
Women, the fathers, the right to rule. It just kept going.
You could tell it, yeah.
Brothers who went through some, you know, bad times.
Mm. Yeah. They like looked right at each other like...
It was a little
much. You want to rule? You want to help another girl out? Girl power? Huh?
So,
all right.
So it was smarter Daenerys to not burn all the ships. It seems like she took out one, maybe two or so, and just sort of stopped their assault because they needed those ships.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And those ships combined with the Iron Fleet, or what they, Theon and Yara, have of it, seemed to be just enough to bring them over. It doesn't... Mm-hmm. How many? It wasn't 1,000 ships,
100.
Though.
100. They have 100.
More than 100
I guess Dario just doesn't know what he's talking about when he says 1,000 ships is what they're going to need.
What's interesting is that Euron is still on his way, which means more ships are on their way.
But at least they were honest about it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So they just have to get halfway across the ocean, and then they can attack Euron and take his ships.
And everyone gets a little more leg room.
A little more leg room, and they can keep going across.
That's how ships work. I do want to mention some. I don't know if we're going to get to predictions, but some people have a very good prediction about what will happen at the end of the season. The very
Dave, let me stop you right now. Let's do predictions. Let's get this prediction thing.
Yeah.
And now,
here to be asked.
You asked for it.
Ask and you shall receive, Dave. What's up, man?
A lot of people, I don't know who to credit first, because a lot of people have been mentioning this on the chat, but everyone thinks the very last cliffhanger of the season is going to be the wall tumbling down.
Ooh.
And that all the,
and the White Walker walking through, the Night King, like being this. Like, yeah. He's going to be like, come at me, bro, right through the wall.
Yeah, but that's what a lot of people are saying, and I think that might...
Yeah.
We talked about this last week.
I'm down with that.
I think after the show, but I... Didn't we talk about this last week?
The wall coming down?
Yeah.
It's always, I think...
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
I feel like every cliffhanger, except for, I guess, the first season, is always, hey, guys, seriously, winter is coming. Like, it's on our doorstep. Like, it's going to happen. It's happening right now.
It's going to happen.
And then the next season starts, and it's like, but all this other stuff is happening. Let's get to that.
I want to ask you guys a question. What does Peter want from Sansa?
Mm. He wants to be
Let's
with her.
Let's get married.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hands down, he wants to be with her.
He wants to marry her and become the Warden of the North.
Yes.
Because, I mean, wasn't he just already the Warden of, like... Yeah.
Well, he's got the Vale. He still has Harrenhal. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's still got Harrenhal. He could get the North with Sansa.
He has the only standing army up there.
There you go. He is stacking those titles right there. But, yeah, he wants her. And I think we're going to see... Sansa's going to be like, well, what do you want? He's going to be like, what do you think I want? What? Come on. I think this is obvious
here.
Come on,
girl. I brought my hair, bro. I heard this is what you're supposed to do. I don't know. Come on.
God. Part of me wants them to be together. Am I sick in thinking
I
that?
I do, too.
Yeah.
Why
I
not?
Do too.
Why not?
I feel like it's sexy. There hasn't been sex lately. I just want this. Let it go.
Yeah,
let it go.
Let it go.
Why not? Why do you not want these two together?
No. He loves her. Together. No. There's love. I agree.
What do you mean he doesn't love her?
He loved her mother. Let's get this clear. That's where this fetish started, was that he was in love with her mom.
You know what? Mom's gone.
He had to move on. Mom's looking younger.
Sansa.
He played a part in killing her father. Like, he is part of why Ned Stark is dead.
But he also told Ned to not trust him.
I don't care.
Okay, so I think the only reason why he wants to be with her is because he sees her as a little form of cat, and that's creepy as hell.
Yeah, kitten.
Okay, yeah, that's creepy. But the only reason why it might be good for them to marry is political, and to save Sansa's butt if she's pregnant, she doesn't want to be known as having Bolton.
No, I don't.
Right.
I
like it. All right, guys. Well, we're going to continue this argument on next week. We'll find out more about it. We're going to see what happens. We got to wrap this up, though, so thank you guys so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV after show for Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 9, Battle of the Bastards. My name's Kyle Maddock. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Maddock.
I'm Cinematic Escape.
Cinematic Escape.
Follow me on all those social medias.
I am just on Twitter. You can follow me at @Sarah_Stratton.
Little finger.
That's his Twitter.
No, I'm Ryan Mallety. You can find me at Ryan Mallety on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter. And if you like what you see, if you love our show, please give us a thumbs up and leave some comments on YouTube. Subscribe so you don't miss the last episode coming up next week. Love you guys.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild and DaveChild.com. Thank you for joining us.
Valamagula.
We'll see you guys next week.
Get your hairbrush.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
1-1.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.